episode, as the title indicates, we'll be talking about evaluating whether your kid is ready for post-secondary or not. We'll look at academics, socially, emotionally, life skills, and motivation as the key pillars to understanding if they are ready for post-secondary. Welcome to the Gap Year Podcast, where we explore the who, what, where, when, and why of gap years. It's real people sharing their stories, ideas, and experts diving deep into how you can make the right decisions in order to have a meaningful gap year. This is the place to be no matter where you are on your gap year journey. I'm Michelle Dittmer, your resident gap year expert. Let's jump right in. In this episode, I really wanted to share a topic that is top of mind for a lot of parents, especially this time of year now that we've pushed through, we've got all of our university and college applications completed, and now we take that pause and go, oh my goodness, what is going on? I'm not sure my kid is ready for university or college. They might not be ready. And so this is something that often weighs on our minds and keeps us up at night. And we wanted to really provide you with some resources to help you explore the different angles that you should really look at to determine if your kid is ready for post-secondary. So students, this episode is also for you, but it would take too long for me in this episode to keep articulating back and forth, whether it's you or your kids. So I've chosen to talk to the parents, but if you're a student, please keep listening because it definitely applies to you as well. So I think the first thing that we really need to address is we need to distinguish between readiness and academic ability. You can be definitely smart enough, you could have the grades, you could understand the material, but if the other elements of readiness aren't there, then perhaps it's not the right time to be heading into post-secondary. And readiness is not a reflection of your parenting or your skills. Having a student who's not ready is not a failure. Each individual matures, changes, develops different skills on a different pathway and on a different timeline. From a young age, we're kind of conditioned to look at certain milestones as people are growing and developing. Have they learned enough words by 18 months? Can they tie their shoe by themselves by grade 2? And what we're always measuring against some sort of prescribed metrics, and we're also measuring against their peers. So let's take a second to break that down a little bit. So are there any really big prescribed metrics around post-secondary transition? Absolutely not. There are no studies that will tell you that irreversible damage is done when they don't go directly into post-secondary or if they don't receive interventions to get them ready. So it's not an indicator of future success at all. Employers are not going to put it a strike against them if you didn't transition directly. You're not going to suffer irreparable scars from taking some additional time. So in short, there really are no clinical reasons to be concerned about this transition. So I just wanted to put you at ease and looking at it from that angle. So the worry often comes from the social pressures that everybody else is doing it, everybody else will judge me if my kid isn't doing it, and society tells me we need to go faster to get to that end goal. And the system that we work in, the educational system we work in, is set up to promote that direct transition. So systems are in place to produce order and to make life easier. And to help you understand that a little bit more, let's use the highway system as a good example. So for those of us, we have cars. Let's say those are the people. And the highway, we'll call that the education system for the sake of this analogy. To be safe traveling down the highway, you need to be going a specific speed. You need to be going in a specific direction. And you need to be in a vehicle that's equipped for the road. Seems pretty standard, pretty normal. The same goes for the education system. As long as you are in a car that's in perfect working order, you're comfortable going the speed of the other cars, you know what direction you want to head in, and you have enough gas, the system works perfectly. Exact same for the education system. So let's extend this analogy a little bit. Let's say your car has been in an accident. Let's say it's had some sort of trauma and it needs a little attention before you'd be comfortable getting it back onto the highway. Often some youth have had this experience. Maybe there's been a divorce in the family, or they've lost a loved one in some way, or they have an eating disorder that they're working to get over. So these are some traumas that have happened. And in the same way you would repair your car before getting on the highway, you might need to look at addressing that trauma. You also need to be comfortable going the speed that everyone else is. If you want to go faster or slower on the highway, you're probably going to find another way to get to that end destination. So maybe you're going to take a train or a plane to get there faster, or maybe you want to go a little bit slower and you're going to take the back roads. All three of the ways, the highway, the plane, and the back roads, will get you to your final destination, but it's just finding a pathway that's a better fit for you. Nobody will second guess you or judge you if you're going to accelerate your kid through school, because that's deemed great and very aspirational. But if we want to slow down, sometimes society will tell us that maybe there's a problem with that, when in fact, reaching the end destination is actually the overall goal. So it's also important that we extend this analogy to look at what direction are you going in. So if you don't know where you're going, why are you going there at 120 kilometers an hour? People who are wise will pull off that highway, pull out their GPS, call somebody, figure it out, and then when they're ready, when they know where they're going, they're going to get back on the highway and head in the right direction. Make sense? Same thing is true for education. If you don't know where you're going, take that side step instead of heading in the wrong direction, figure it out, and then step back into the education system. And what about that last one? What about a car running out of gas? Sometimes we've used up all the energy we have and we need to get off the highway to refuel. And there's nothing wrong with our car. We just need more energy to continue going on. And this one is more true than ever for our students. So many people are coming to me explaining that they are feeling burnt out, that they are out of energy, and they want to be successful, and they realize that they need to gas up or they need to recharge their battery before they head on to post-secondary because they want to be successful. And if they're not putting their best foot forward, then they recognize that they won't be as successful as they could be. So all this analogy is to say that I give you permission to be okay with the potential of not going directly into post-secondary. There's nothing wrong with you as a parent, there's nothing wrong with your kid, and there's nothing wrong with the system. You just need to be able to evaluate if the system fits your kid or if you need to take the back road for a little while. So I wanted to set that analogy, set the tone for some of the actionable pieces that you should be looking for, because I think it's a really important perspective to take, that we have this system, we have this highway, we have this education system, and then we have the cars, and we just want what's best for our kids. And so let's actually dive into what some of those pieces that you should be looking out for to see if you're actually ready for post-secondary. We can start with the most obvious, and that's academic readiness. And this is the one that is measured by all the external evaluators, the schools. So it's the only metric that's societally measured and valued. So what grades did you get? What was the required admission grade? And does that line up? This one is completely out of your hands. All you can do is study and then do your research to find a program that fits your interests and academic measures. The system takes care of the rest. You're either admitted or you're not. So at this stage in the game, this one isn't something that we can really control, but this is the only one that society uses to measure. So the rest of the responsibility to decide if you are ready or not for post-secondary relies on the individual and relies on the family. So being accepted doesn't necessarily mean that you are ready to go to post-secondary. I'm going to say that one more time. Being accepted does not mean that they are ready for post-secondary. It means that they met the academic standard, which was set out by the institution, and that should be celebrated. It's an accomplishment and it's lots of work, and you want the work from the last 14 years of school to pay off. So congratulate your kids if they are getting those acceptances. That's a wonderful stepping stone. But that doesn't mean that they're ready. If they're not emotionally and socially ready, or if they lack the life skills to be successful in a new environment, are you really setting them up for success, or are you setting them up for a more challenging experience? So let's say the system has deemed your kid academically ready. Now, how can you test to see if your kid is mature enough? So maturity is an overarching term that I hear a lot of parents and a lot of students articulate as the overarching theme. My kid isn't mature enough, or my kid isn't ready. And when I talk about it and when I work with these families, we really break it down into four different buckets. So are they emotionally ready? Are they socially ready? Do they have the life skills? And do they have the excitement and motivation? So those are the four buckets that I want to talk a little bit about. The first one is emotional readiness. There's a phenomenal read and a phenomenal website called Grown and Flown by Lisa Hefferman and Mary Dell Harrington. And I'll link to that in the show notes. But they have a great summary on their website. And some of the words come from them, but these are the same conversations that I have with the families that I work with as well. So you should definitely check out that website. But I'll give you a really nice summary here if you don't have the time. So let's look at that emotional readiness. So how are they going to handle how do they currently handle their challenging emotions? A lot goes on in the later teen years. There's heartbreak, there's failing driver's tests. There's lots of things that can happen that can be terribly emotionally unsettling. So can they emotionally regulate themselves, or how much support do you need to provide in these situations? And that's a great measure to take a look at some of those experiences that they may have had and see what level of independence they have with their emotions. And this isn't to say that you are not supposed to be there to support them or to listen to them or to provide emotional guidance, but in the event that you were unavailable, are they able to process those emotions and then adjust their resulting actions in an appropriate way? When they're off at college or university, they'll have a smaller support network, or at least one that's not right there at their beck and call all the time, to step in and support them in those emotional ways. So they need to start to have those skills in order to grow a little bit and to become more independent and a little bit more stable emotionally, so that they can lead a productive life and a challenging situation that gets their emotions all fired up doesn't lead them down the garden path or into a situation that they can't get themselves out of. So my tip here is to take a look at some of the challenging things that they might have experienced recently, and how well did they navigate that emotionally, and how much external support did they rely on. The second pillar is to look at, are they socially ready? So do they know right from wrong, and can they stand up to peer pressure? And these are big concerns as a parent throughout the teenage years, but it becomes more acute as we look at sending them off into the next realm. They're no longer the big fish in a little pond. They become, once again, the little fish in a big pond, working and living with folks who are older than them and have a couple more years experience on them. So I think a better way of framing this is actually to look at, can they assess the risk in situations? So can they look at a new situation that they're coming into and be able to take a look and see, what is the risk involved in this situation, and how is my choice going to impact the risk that I am going to be putting myself in? risk is not a bad word, and we'll hear from Jane. I believe she's scheduled to come on next week talking about how important risk and safe risk taking is for development. But does the young person have the ability to take a look at a situation and figure it out? So in university and college, there's going to be new situations, new freedoms, and new choices to be made. And this may sound very basic, but you need to know, do you trust them? And almost more importantly, do they trust themselves to make the right decisions? I think if we take that one step further, so if they make the wrong decision, or if just in general they're struggling with something and they need to reach help for, out for help in any way, whether that be academic support or medical support or social support, do they recognize when they need to call in some additional support, and can they find the right support systems? So you can be looking right now for how your young person behaves in novel situations and thinking about that trust factor. Are they making good decisions? Also, when they're looking for help, this would show up in high school, perhaps seeking out a guidance counselor or a coach, or talking to their parents or a trusted peer or a trusted adult around social pressures, or even something as simple as requesting to go to the doctor when they're sick. So can they identify when they are outside of their comfort zone and they need some additional support? I think it's also important from a social perspective to look at their ability to make friends. And this isn't about a popularity contest and them going off into new environment and making as many friends as possible, but will they be comfortable without their high school besties by their side? And this is something that every person experiences as we move out of that cocoon of high school and move into a new environment. We're going to be put with different people from different backgrounds and different environments and not the people that we are used to hanging out with. So are they able to make new social connections? And that will be really important for their mental health down the line. Feeling isolated and alone, all the studies are showing how detrimental that can be to somebody's mental health. So being able to check in and see if they're comfortable making new friends or new social connections and helping them to develop those skills will set them on the right path. Jumping into the third element, looking into the hard life skills. And this is something we hear all the time from post-secondaries, that these kids don't have the life skills to survive out on their own. And this isn't just if they are moving out. If they're staying at home as well, they do need to have these skills. Simple things like, do they need to be reminded to eat healthy? Would your kid ever eat an apple on their own, or would they just eat Joe Louis all day long or Pizza Pockets? So do they need that reminder to take control of their nutrition? Do they go to bed on their own, or do they need to be reminded to get enough sleep so that their body can take care of itself and recuperate? Do they do their own laundry and cook their own food? Maybe can they make their own doctor's appointments or schedule meetings with somebody in the outside world? Or are these things that as a parent you are constantly doing for them? So these things can be learned rather quickly. So even if the other indicators are saying that they're ready and this one is lacking a little bit, you can start to develop these skills right now, and they may be able to acquire them before entering into post-secondary. But these are things that as a parent, you have to be comfortable pulling back on and encouraging them and equipping them with the knowledge so that they can develop the skills. So maybe you need to have them cook alongside you for a couple weeks before you ask them to make meals for the family, or maybe you need to show them how to do the laundry. So there are things that you can do as a parent very tangibly, very easily, and do it in a stepwise manner so that you are helping them to grow and become that fully adulting person that they need to be in order to be successful. So it's not just saying cut it off cold turkey, good luck being an adult, kick them out the door, but how can you create those opportunities where they can start to step into some of the roles that maybe you have been doing traditionally? If we take a look at some of the other key life skills that are a strong indicator of their readiness, is looking into time management. So do they show up on time and do they allocate enough time for appropriate activities, or are you the one that's managing their schedule and timing? If it sounds like you finished watching TV, you need to get your homework, if that's something that's coming out of your mouth, maybe that's an indicator that they might not quite be ready in this particular category. So being on your own for the majority of the day, maybe having 3 hours between your classes, will they make good use of that time, or will they just sit around and scroll through Instagram for those entire 3 hours waiting for their next class? Or perhaps they are moving out and moving into residence. Will they be able to take ownership of their time in a way that's going to continue to move them forward? And this kind of plays into the fourth pillar of motivation, just a wee bit. So the last thing I really want to talk about is, are they excited about their next steps? If they're not, there's a problem. They need to be excited and motivated by what's coming up ahead of them. So looking at who did most of the research into the different schools, into the different colleges and universities, looking at who filled out all of the paperwork, all of the applications, who scheduled the campus tours. If it was not coming from the young person themselves, if you as a parent were doing these things, I would suggest that this might be a lack of enthusiasm that might perhaps carry forward into their studies once they've entered into post-secondary. So if you want to make sure that the money that you're spending on that tuition and that residence is being put to good use and they're going to be enthusiastic and committed to their studies, then we really need them to feel ownership and excitement towards their next step so that they can achieve their optimal success. So if this was not the case, then it might be worth taking pause or having a conversation with your young person around their readiness for and their interest in heading into post-secondary next years. So with all of these indicators, it's important to know that they're not defined for life. If they're not ready right now, that doesn't mean that they will not be ready in 6 months' time or a year's time. They're all skills that can be developed and practiced. It's like a muscle. The more that you use it, the stronger it's going to be. So depending on your kid, you might have enough time to practice and develop these skills before September, and some might take a little bit more time to really hone in these skills and be ready to go on to post-secondary. And both of those situations are perfectly okay. Like I said before, I'm giving you permission to not be ready and to take the time to develop those skills in order to be successful moving forward. I think a gap year is a perfect way to really expand a student's life experience in a very constructive year. It's an active choice to take control of their own development, and ironically, it's a very mature realization and a very mature decision to make. I know a lot of parents fear that taking time off is going to be a wasted year, that this unstructured year for their unready kid is going to end up with them sitting on the couch and not getting the most out of their gap year. But I'm here to tell you that there are incredible resources and programs out there to make sure that this is not the case. Sitting on the couch is not a gap year. Sitting on the couch is a waste of time. So in order to motivate and get these students excited about things, you need to tap into the resources that are around you. The challenge with readiness is that if we push someone who's not ready into a new situation, it often backfires. We think, oh, they'll figure it out on their own. They'll get their sea legs. It will be fine. But in my experience, about 30% of the people who come to the Canadian Gaps Year Association are coming mid-post-secondary. Many of them felt pushed into university or college, and when they got there, it was a complete disaster, socially, academically, or emotionally. And they get a lot of baggage from that perceived failure experience. They don't feel like they can do it because they failed at it once. When in fact, most of them would probably have been excellent students if they had taken a proactive step to take a year to develop socially, emotionally, and build more life skills in order to be successful on the academic side of things. In the coming weeks on the podcast, we're going to have many stories shared by parents and gappers about this theme of readiness. So make sure you tune in to hear from them. So I'm going to make an offer today. If you are unsure if your child is ready or not for post-secondary, I invite you to jump on a free 30-minute call with me and we can talk about your family's unique situation. I'd be more than happy to share with you some resources and recommendations and guide you in this decision-making process. Although I work in the field of gap years, a gap year is not for everyone, and I will be very upfront about whether or not I think a gap year is a good fit for your particular situation. So I do hope that you found this episode helpful, that you got some things to take away and to think about and to discuss between parent and child, and to take a look at some of the evidence of behaviors and readiness indicators that exist currently in your family. So again, just as a recap, checking out to see if not only are they academically ready, are they emotionally ready, are they socially ready? Are they equipped with the life skills that they need? And are they motivated and excited about their next steps? So I hope you find this helpful. And if you do need some more support, again, I would love if you took me up on the offer to book a call. And you can do that at cangap.ca/call. So I hope that this provides some clarity. And I look forward to talking to you on the phone or seeing you inside of our next episode. So until next time, keep on adventuring.